Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, oh my heavens, it's already March 20th. In the year of our Lord, 2023, this is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers, who brilliantly put the checks and balances, in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and what a brilliant solution we still have at our fingertips. Restoration is the key. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. On Saturday, we had an incredible broadcast. We talked to Benjamin Schaefer. We talked to Gary Barsdorf. And we were talking about goldback.com. They got a little piece of gold in all of these bills. Larry Hilton and others put this whole thing together. Yeah, it's incredible. And we compared that with a meltdown in the stock markets, the meltdown in the banking realm. Do you know what the word fungible means? That's what we talked about. Yep, fungible means, you know what, it's flexible and tradable and it's adaptable. The gold back, by the way, is the first physical, interchangeable gold money that's designed to accommodate even the smallest of transactions. The folks have done a pretty good job at goldback.com. The gold back, they say, solves a thousands of year old problem. How do you deal with gold in interchangeable increments? Well, the United Precious Metals Association, UPMA, has put a lot together in relation to the legal tender acts of certain states now. And they've been making tremendous headway, folks. How about viable choices in currency? That's what we're talking about. Members of the UPMA can access their wealth a variety of ways via debit card, linked debit cards, wire transfers, physical checks, by taking physical possession of their metals, their holdings. Anyway, it's a pretty neat stuff. UPMA.org, they operate on a nonprofit. It's a cooperative, if you will. We're talking about the gold exchange they got going on. They've got a variety of things. I called it an ecosystem on the radio because Alpine Gold Exchange services the United Precious Metals Association. They're getting branches, franchise branches all around the country. More and more states are jumping aboard. It was a two-hour gold-back discussion. We also had Jason Knoll with us. He's with County by County Magazine, and we really discussed this whole ecosystem of how do you get honest money back into society, then how do you use it in a way that could be digital, portable, transferable online. How do you deal with the online, offline? What do you do? How do you deal with it? This is probably one of the better ways so far, this whole ecosystem they've built. And we talked to these different people because Gary is a branch manager with the group. Benjamin was the one of the lead attorneys with the group. Jason is involved from just a mere mortal business owner kind of point of view in the group. Very interesting discussions. There were a lot of statements made by the leaders of this organization, goldback.com. I'll give them to you. And then in seconds, we're going to get Dr. Scott Bradley's breakdown on this. Gold is money. Everything else is credit, says one of them. Amen to that. Although silver's money too, but I get the point. Never trust money more than gold. Well, that's because the other isn't really money at all. Gold and silver is money. The rest is fiat and bogus. Let's give people an easy-to-use, beautiful currency that has intrinsic value and has a reliable track record of holding its purchasing power. Gold is the original medium of artful expression. If the world does well, gold will be fine. If the world does not do well, gold will also be fine. But a lot of other things could collapse. Because gold is honest money, it is disliked by dishonest men. That's one of my favorite ones. because gold is honest money, it is disliked by dishonest men. Wow. Then the next one says, if you don't trust gold, do you trust taking a beautiful pine tree, cutting it up, turning it into pulp, creating paper, creating a single bill that costs 2.5 cents and saying it's worth $1 million or $100 or whatever? Do you trust that? We talked about a lot of comparisons related to this as well. It was a fantastic discussion, by the way. And, of course, Dr. Scott Bradley's back with us to help break this down. Dr. Bradley, welcome, sir. What do you say?
Well, I am grateful to be back and visit with you, as we always do on Monday morning and Friday morning, of course, too. And it sounds like you had a very interesting discussion. If you've read my book, Chapter 8 of it is called Of Money and Economics, and we talk about the ancient nature of money and exchange from the barter system forward. We talk about there's some things that really, if it's to be real money, it needs to have intrinsic value. It's got to be easily divisible. It's got to be durable. And it's got to be relatively scarce. Those four things have to happen. Paper fits none of those other than easily divisible. And I quote the Founding Fathers extensively. We go forward and discover a lot of the their perspective on why they knew that fiat money, money printed out of thin air and distributed with the endorsement of the government, has full faith and backing of the United States government. Ha! Well, I think almost everybody that has more than a half a brain has been able to discover that that's not much. So anyway, the Founding Fathers discussed this at great length. They had very strong opinions. And in fact, when it came up in August of 1787, about whether the U.S. government of the Constitution that they were writing in Philadelphia could issue, emit bills of credit, which is paper money, basically. They had a very rousing discussion about that. One individual said, if we did that, if we allowed that, it would be as dangerous as the mark of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation. That's an exact quote.
And boy, howdy, is that unfolding eerily similar, huh?
It is, absolutely. And then when we get these these funny money, electronically created things that are being issued by the central bank, it gets even weirder. But so they ended up putting in Section 10 of Article 1 that no state shall coin money, emit bills of credit, that's paper money, or make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts. So yes, indeed, they really definitely had opinions about those things. And if you get in, I've obviously haven't been able to put all the quotes into a chapter, but they spoke of money, and Jefferson talked about the Daedalian wings. Daedalian is harkens back to the Greek mythology, Daedalus, and the wings that they made the boy and Icarius, and he was able to go flying, and he went so high, got too close to the sun, melted the wax, and he fell into what became the Icarian Sea. But at any rate, to say, look, this is the way paper money is. It floats high if you get enough gullible people out there and the leadership is supporting it, but ultimately and finally it will fail. It will die in their hands. And so I'm all for the precious metals thing. And I have been involved with the UPMA people in the past, and I probably still have a little account with them. I tend to be a personal possession kind of guy. If you can't get to some place where your money's stored, I think there's been some real, shall we say, scandals happen in Utah about people, Utah, not just Utah, all over the country and all over the world. In fact, in some parts of the world, the people wear their wealth. I mean, they put it on necklaces, rings, bracelets, you know, it ornaments themselves, and so they can take some off if they need to. But to turn it over to somebody, I think, has had some bad results in the past.
There's doubt about it, and that's why I love at least this precious metal exchange idea, because one of the things that you got to understand about United Metals is that they encourage you to take possession. They're just telling you they have a vault. If you want to keep it somewhere else, that's safe and secure. Now, you're right, though. There could be scandals, and you never know what's safe and secure. If you don't have the metal, then you never know if you'll get it, right? But I recommend taking possession of most of your metal. But I also recommend leaving some there because you can tie it to a debit card. You can live in the modern world this way. What I like about their plan is it's backed by real, honest money, but yet it's usable in modern society. Part of the problem with gold and silver right now is that, hey, if I need to pay somebody in Florida, how do I get that done? I mean, I guess I could try to send them a gold piece in the mail and hope to trust the mail in the post office. But so I really like this because it's a way to take possession of your metal. It's a way to be represented by real metal. But it's also a way then to make it divisible and usable on the internet and everything else. I don't think it's perfect by any means. But I like the idea that they encourage you to take possession of your metal. And then it's a way to deal in modern society in a relatively normal way, which is very difficult today. I mean, you pay people all over the country, all over the world. You know, how do you get that done? How do you go out to eat and pay people? You know, you can use a debit card tied to this honest money system. Again, it's as close to perfect, as at least as far as I can tell, in modern society we've been able to get, Doctor.
Well, yeah, I agree. All of those benefits are there, and if you appropriately use it. When we get back, let's talk a minute about how silver is also money. I would say it is money. It's how the dollar is defined.
Amen. And, it is, and we're going to talk about that. And that's something that they're working towards, by the way. They're not suggesting it's not money, and you can still get coins in that, but they denote everything in really gold as their focus. We'll talk about it with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com. True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1 verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
All right, we're talking about honest money, ladies and gentlemen, versus the fiat system. Janet Yellen says, hey, we're not even going to guarantee a lot of the transactions to anything bigger than 250 grand or anything not insured. No, all bets are off. That alone is going to literally revamp the whole system. People are freaking. People are moving money all over the place. Things are not looking good. They'll probably shore it up. I don't believe this is the final time of meltdown, but I do believe that this is showing us how volatile their dishonest fiat money system really is. In contrast, we talked about goldback.com. They've got a great system. One of the things they don't have, though, is silver in their mix. Now, I know that's something that they really need to work on, and they basically said that they're working on something for that, but they're starting with gold, and they'll still let you buy and hold silver in their vaults. They'll let you put silver in your vault and eventually, you know, exchange and stuff like that. So they're not against silver. They just don't have a great answer for it yet. Part of the difficulty and part of the discussion is, you know what, locking the silver and gold together in some meaningful way that can trade value for value. In other words, what's the relationship? How does that look? The founding fathers had that figured out, though, Doctor.
I get in discussions with people about locking them together. And yes, indeed, the founding fathers did. It was 15 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold in the original formula. It went to 20 ounces of silver and to 1 ounce of gold ultimately. Well, not ultimately. For many years, I guess I should say. It's far off of that. It's almost 80 to 1 now. I haven't calculated it for quite some time
now. It's closer to 100 to 1, but I know what you're saying.
Is it really? Okay, so it's been sliding. And it's interesting. Gold and silver are both commodities. And you know, they are intrinsic, physical, tangible. You can hold them in your hand, all that kind of stuff. But what the American Founding Fathers did is in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5, is they said that Congress shall have power to coin money. Okay, coin, if you look it up with Noah Webster, the Founding Father that wrote the dictionary, if you will, it has nothing to do with paper. It has everything to do with stamping precious metals. Look it up. Review it. That's what they used. The words have meanings and meanings have, you know, but the meanings can be known. And we can know them and know what they meant. Anyway, the Constitution was, it got ratified in 1788. It was put into force 1789 with the election of Congress and the president being sworn in and all that. Without going into a full review, they did not get a Coinage Act passed until 1792. Jefferson and Washington bugged the Congress and bugged them and bugged them. I guess they thought they had other things, other fish to fry. But in that Coinage Act of 1792, they established gold and silver as the medium of exchange in the United States. And they defined a dollar, the, you know, denomination, the unit of American money, as 371 1/4 grains of pure silver. So, and it's interesting, in my opinion, it's interesting, and some people may catch my drift on this thing. The grain is tied back to a grain as a unit of measurement that's based upon the mass of a single seed of cereal. So wheat and barley grain were used to define units of mass. So there's 7,000 grains per pound, okay? So it's interesting to me that even the intrinsic value money is tied back to something that's probably even more precious. You know, you can't eat gold, you can't eat silver, and there'll come a time someday, I believe, when you could have a 1,000 pounds of gold and you couldn't get somebody to sell you a bushel of wheat, because maybe that's all there is. And you can go back to the Old Testament about a little pile of dung was purchased for certain amounts because people wanted to eat it because things got so rough. Things have been bad before. People kill their kids and eat them. I mean, that's historically, and certainly you can read it scripturally. But they wanted to have an intrinsic value system. The United States established that constitutionally. It's been carried forward. We have it. And Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 is ignored completely now. Article 1, Section 10 is ignored largely. I mean, this idea that states can't use anything but gold or silver, you know, for their debts. All of this stuff is constitutionally established.
It is. Now, let me make this point so people understand, too. Gold is vital. I agree. But you can't only use gold because too many people can get control of the gold. The average, you know, person just maybe can't, you know, get that much kind of wealth or whatever you want to say. Silver was in the mix for a reason, and that was to make it, you know, more flexible, more obtainable, more usable, more flexible. Let me give you this example. Norm Franz said this. Gold is the money of kings. Silver is the money of gentlemen. Barter is the money of peasants, and slavery or debt is the money of slavery, of slaves. So you look at that, though, and they understood, though, that if you're not very careful, you know, people could get control of the gold stores maybe fairly easily. But yet gold and silver together, locked in a ratio, meant one was as good as the other. They had equal value in their proper portions. That was the key, right?
Well, indeed it was. And here's how I explain it to people. I mean, I you know, I often, I don't use that elegant description that was used, but I say, you know, silver really is poor man's gold. And let's say you have an ounce of silver, and I don't know what the spot price is right now.
20 bucks. Look it up. It's around there. Well, 18, 20
bucks. It's 22 and change. Okay, that's the spot price. You've got a premium you pay at a dealer. Okay, so let's say it's 25. Okay, when you're doing exchanges with dealers, 25 is fairly easy to work with, and so is 20. But if you look at the spot price of gold, it's over 1,800. So let's say, what does that mean? It means if you have an ounce, 1 ounce coin around, you know, that's not got any collectible value, like it's an 1880 whatever. No, if you just have a silver round, it's going to cost you at a dealer about 25 bucks. I'm just, you know, round numbers.
That's right. That's
so
a fact.
I'll
that's
get
right.
somebody to call me back. Okay. If you take it from a gold dealer, it might be $1,900. Okay. So let's say you got a gold coin in your pocket and you want to go buy a tank of gas. Well, I don't have change. I'm sorry. You can give me your whole ounce and I'll give you the gas, you know, 20 gallons of gas. But with a silver, it's more divisible. It goes to smaller units. And so I might give him two silver rounds for a tank of gas. And again, I'm just making this up as we go. But you give him two silver rounds, you spent 50 bucks for a tank of gas. You give him 1 ounce of gold, and you just spent $1,900 for a tank of gas.
And there's no way to deal with that. Now, the digital money folks at Goldback have solved that in a way because they have divisions and down to a thousandth of an ounce of gold. The problem that I see with that, though, is that you still need to back your notes or back whatever you're doing with real, honest money. I'm a little bit afraid that, you know, at some point you won't have enough gold to back enough for the economy. Thus, silver came into the mix as well.
Well, that's how the dollar is defined. 371 and a quarter ounces of pure silver. That's
grain.
The fact
grain.
Of life. 300, yeah, the grains. Yeah, they're grains. Okay.
371.
Keep me awake.
371 grain of silver equals a troy ounce, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that is
they used to do silver and grains, and I want to reiterate the point that you made. They used to do silver and grains because it related to the other commodities that it was the median of exchange for, right? That's the reminder, right, if you will, the tie back to the fact that we're trading value for value. Work to get silver or gold out of the ground. Work to create crops and get that out of the ground. Tying it directly to food is the point, Doctor.
It is, and these things are interchangeable. It's really funny. You go anywhere. You go in the boonies someplace in the jungles of Cambodia. I don't know. Pick a place. And you end up back there somehow. Your raft sinks or your airplane crashed or whatever. If you've got a gold necklace, let's just say you can bet, and you kind of are, if you're wearing a gold necklace, you'll be able to win this, that you can go into a little village somewhere, and they will have a pretty good idea of what a couple of links off of that gold necklace is worth. And if you pinch a couple of those gold links off, you can buy some chickens and eggs and eat. I mean, they will exchange that in the most primitive of circumstances because it's a known commodity all throughout the world. And I just looked up live gold spot price is 1970.40 and 1971.40. So there's a spread of a dollar from the bid and the ask. But so let's say it costs $2,000 from a dealer for a round of, you know, just plain gold, and it costs $25, you know, for a round of silver. So in my opinion, and it's only opinion for whatever it's worth, and don't consider me to be an expert, but the point of the matter is I look at these things and I say, you know, if you have some kind of exchange and a mix of these things with the bulk of it in silver, because you can do most of your dealing with your neighbors in that if you had to.
That is the point, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, it's fungible. We want to create that term and usable in modern society, but we also need it to be backed completely. And the founders understood that it's easier to back or easier to use gold and silver together. Those locked together create the best money in the world.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Later this afternoon, the President and the First Lady welcome the acting cast of Ted Lasso to the White House to discuss the importance of addressing your mental health to promote overall well-being. One of the hottest apps in the United States right now is another TikTok developer software owned by Chinese parent ByteDance Limited. App trackers show that CapCut, a video editing tool, has been downloaded more in recent weeks than TikTok. A busy week starts today for a New York grand jury.
The New York grand jury investigating former President Trump in a hush money case is set to hear from a longtime ally of his. Reports say attorney Bob Costello will testify today. He previously represented Michael Cohen, who was Trump's former fixer and attorney. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has been investigating the former president for his alleged role in a hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. Prosecutors have signaled a possible indictment, but the DA's office has not confirmed Trump's claim that he would be arrested this week. I'm Skip Kelly.
The General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow this hour and running through Wednesday. This is just days after the International Criminal Court, or ICC, indicted the Russian president for war crimes. The city of Miami Beach announced last night an overnight curfew in response to a pair of fatal shootings on South Beach's Ocean Drive during a busy spring break weekend. In response to the two shootings and the large crowds, the city of Miami Beach ordered a state of emergency and a midnight curfew that took effect last night at midnight and ran through 6 o'clock this morning. As the NCAA March Madness continues, the Sweet 16 teams will begin play on Thursday and Friday. You can watch it on CBS and TBS. This is USA News.
My heart was racing just making spaghetti. I could have waited to tell my doctor, but I didn't wait.
I was short of breath just reading a book. I could have delayed telling my doctor, but I didn't wait.
They told their doctors and found out they have atrial fibrillation, a condition which makes it about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you have one or more of these symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, this is no time to wait. Contact your doctor.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
High rates of cancer have been found in military pilots and those who work on the aircraft.
The Pentagon says a study of nearly 900,000 service members who flew on or worked on military aircraft between 1992 and 2017 are at higher risk of cancer. It found that 87% of crew members have a higher rate of melanoma and 39% for thyroid cancer, with men more at risk of prostate cancer just as women are for breast cancer. Ground crews showed a lower rate of cancers, just 3% overall.
Never enough time to break everything down the way we'd like to, ladies and gentlemen. Just know that constitutional currency needs to return. Without it, we're doomed to failure, doomed to meltdown and destruction. And really what happens is the bankers, the warmongers, always get rich, and the rest of us get fleeced in their dishonest money schemes. But constitutional currency, which means gold and silver, are the way to go. And believe it or not, I believe Goldback and those guys have done the very best they can in modern society to get something usable and truly fungible. We got to work on them on a silver relationship there and get that done too. It can be easily defined between the two, and that's where we've got to kind of work on. They still let you take possession of silver, though, so don't worry. There's solutions everywhere. My favorite partner in the coin business is Brian Rust, rustcoinandgift.com. That's who I go to, rustcoinandgift.com. All right. Another topic that I want to highlight is this. Headline says, Fauci, that's Anthony Fauci, and others suppressed Brit recommendation to use ivermectin against COVID-19. Conclusion, they called for immediate approval for the use of ivermectin. WND.com with this interesting story, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen to this. They say testimonials arose about how ivermectin was effective, even though federal officials, celebrities, and others condemned it. They publicly ridiculed those who would use a, quote, horse paste, even though it was only one form of ivermectin, and ivermectin was created and used on humans as well. But they lied and deceived everybody about this horse poop, horse paste idea. But now, and I don't even know how to say these words a little bit, so just bear with me, people. They call it the Asahi Shipman Co. or Company. It's the huge Japanese pharmaceutical company, believe it or not, that confirmed ivermectin proved an antiviral effect against Omicron and other coronavirus variants. So believe it or not, a Japanese pharmaceutical company even doubled down and said, hey, ivermectin is valuable and works. Well, it turns out that there's a new report out now by Emmy award-winning investigative journalist Cheryl Atkinson. And she reveals that Anthony Fauci and others suppressed a recommendation at the outset of the pandemic that ivermectin be used against the killer. A leading British physician, and they call it World Council for Health, this co-founder of this is a guy by the name of Dr. Tess Lowry, who is director and founder of a doctor's organization called the British Ivermectin Recommendation Development Group, also known as BIRD, okay? Anyway, they put together this huge research study, and they basically sent an open letter to the Food and Drug Administration, to Anthony Fauci and crew, and Lori's cover letter, that's Dr. Lori's cover letter, states, BIRD panel, so that's this group that I'm telling you, this British whatever, conclusions are that ivermectin should be approved immediately for the prevention and treatment of COVID-19. They then go on and say, hey, this really helps with people with other morbidities, et cetera, et cetera. Rather than educate the public about the reasons for their rejection of the ivermectin use recommendation, the FDA, the NIH, and Anthony Fauci's former agency had blacked out their responses in these documents, explains Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton. Anyway, bottom line is, they knew full well that it was started in a lab and that ivermectin worked. They had all kinds of evidence from huge international groups that documented this, rushed the information to Fauci and crew. They literally covered it up. Now this FOIA request from the folks over at Judicial Watch, combined with this Emmy award-winning investigative journalist, Cheryl Atkinson, along with the Asahi Shipman Coa Company, that's this huge Japanese pharmaceutical company, they all doubled down and said ivermectin is the world's answer and solution to reduce and or eliminate COVID, to prevent hospitalizations, to deal with the most risk, people at the most risk, etc. And this was rushed to Fauci and crew. Now documents reveal. Dr. Bradley, more evidence than we need Nuremberg trials is all I can say.
Well, I hope we got, maybe it'll take the rest of the half hour we got left, not quite 20 minutes, to discuss this. This is absolutely criminal. There's no question about that. There's a lot of moving parts, as you've pointed out so far. There's a lot of behind the scenes, shall we say, motivation that they've had to do what they did. And it is all criminal. Truly, we do need Nuremberg trials. We can tie exactly back to what happened to Nuremberg and what actually came out after the Nuremberg trials, after the Nazis' atrocious things that they did. We need to understand, though, that ivermectin is not just horse paste. It was developed decades ago. And in fact, if I recall correctly, I think it was 1996 when the patent on it ran out. Okay, so you can develop, anybody in their own lab could make ivermectin.
Let me tell you what happened when I took it. It was prescribed by a doctor, a legitimate physician. I went to the pharmacy and got it, and it was literally a pill in a blister pack like every other medicine on the planet.
It's for human consumption. That was what it was developed for. There have been millions of people over the years take billions of doses. It is probably the safest, if not, if it's not the safest, it's in the top five, any kind of pharmaceutical that can be taken. The FDA approved ivermectin as safe and effective for human use in 1996. I mean, this has been known. People, it was safe and effective. I mean, you know, I hate using the FDA for anything. I've always become skeptical about that. But in February of 2021, Merck discovered, in quotes, a previously unknown safety, in quotes, concern about ivermectin, and the patent rights had expired in 1996. So here they are, decades after the patents expired, say, oh my goodness, it's dangerous, we can't use this. It's interesting to me that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., in his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, takes 26 pages of detailed scientific analysis to review the bogus case against ivermectin. This thing is so well documented. Ivermectin is safe and effective where nothing that has to do with any of this jab that we've been taking can be in any way, shape, or form attributed to safe and effective. In fact, the WHO includes ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. That's World Health Organization for those that are beyond the owl time. Ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are essential medicines, necessary, safe, efficacious, and affordable. Worldwide, millions have taken this billions of times and found that it is absolutely bulletproof. Okay, so we have evidence saying that this would have helped in this disaster that they created. And so then they say, no, you can't take it. It's dangerous. Oh, no, we discovered it's dangerous. And then they put all this stuff against us. I mean, we probably let me just give you some things out of the, well, I don't know if you, how deeply you want to dive into this, but the Nuremberg Code was created after the Nazis had these atrocious experimentations, medical experiments.
Yeah, evil, satanic medical experiments. Let's be very clear. And sadly, the United States was in bed with them on that stuff, right?
There's no question about it. And here's what's really, I mean, we could, again, a lot of moving parts. As a profession, physicians joined the Nazi Party more than any other group, physicians and nurses, in terms of a working man's occupation. They joined the Nazis. The great bulk of them became SS. That was the most callous, destructive, evil, mean, bad, nasty kinds of guys. You know, this is stuff Josef Mengele, I mean, that was known as the Angel of Death.
Yeah, they're almost like the FBI of today. I understand, sir.
Yeah, but, you know, Auschwitz, all this. These guys, they, if you will, provided the transition of science into death, okay? And so it's interesting to me that these doctors became Nazis. And I bring this up to say, why in the world, when you have the Hippocratic Oath, say, do no harm, in today's day, do we have that going on? Dang, we got to take a break. So let me read you some stuff out of the Nuremberg Code when we
we'll
get back.
We'll do it in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. I also want to highlight this reality. It's not just that the government dismissed this evidence and said we don't agree with it. They literally pushed to persecute and prosecute all of us who told the truth as well. That's a bridge too far. Nuremberg trials need to happen now.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's so criminal. Not only did they disagree with the recommendations from all these bodies and people who had evidence that we've had about ivermectin, from testimonials to this Japanese company admitting the truth, to doctors and people in America, frontline doctors and everybody who literally jumped on it early, used it, found it valuable. And not only were they one disagreeing with that information, that's okay if they disagree. The problem is they literally persecuted and prosecuted anybody who went along with this factual reality that we now have so much evidence for. Doctors knew it early. Frontline doctors spoke up and testified. Doctors knew it, for example, prescribed ivermectin to me and saved my life. Okay, look, this is the kind of thing where they knew, but they went against and prosecuted and persecuted everybody. This lie about ivermectin, oh man, it's horse paste. It's not even for human consumption. All that was a lie. They intentionally did this, which tells me they had a deeper narrative, a deeper goal, and they literally persecuted and prosecuted some of us, destroyed people's reputations, etc., all over this, doctor. This is where the Nuremberg stuff starts, the abuse that took place.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, largely my disagreement with the narrative, it wasn't a narrative, it wasn't a storyline, it was a script. And I disagreed with this from the beginning. They deplatformed me, and it really truly was a censorship thing from the highest levels, directed by those that were, at the highest levels of government. And the Nuremberg piece comes into play where, you know, the Nazis did all these horrific experiments on humans, and untold numbers were mutilated and tortured and killed. So it was time to check this out, and they had a trial after. And out of that trial came 10 points. Now, the code has never been officially accepted by any nation as a law. And in fact, it's interesting to me that the American Medical Association opposed much of it. Now, that gives you some, just ponder that for a moment or two about the American Medical Association and how complicit they were in the rollout of this death jab and all those kinds of things, okay? But the point of the matter is that the Operation Warp Speed and the FDA emergency use authorization of this is not approval, this is not verification, this is no safety testing, no efficacy testing, none of this stuff happened. They rolled out a totally experiment. It was a medical experiment. It's ongoing, it continues. Now, I'm not going to go through all 10 of the points, but number 10, I want to go back to number 1, and everything in between is equally chilling. But number 10 says, during the course of the experiment, which is, like I say, ongoing, today the people that took the jab 2 years ago are still experiencing and being experimented upon. During the course of the experiment, the scientist in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment at any stage. This emergency use authorization is an experiment. If he has probable cause to believe in the exercise of the good faith, superior skill, and careful judgment required of him, that a continuation of the experiment is likely to result in injury, disability, or death of the experimental subject. And if you go to the Vayers report, which has been out of the news a lot lately, and underreports every single stinking thing that happened with this. Perhaps only 1% is reported there. The tens of thousands of deaths, the hundreds of thousands of adverse medical reactions. And so if there's, let's say there's 40,000 deaths noted in there, multiply it by 100 and come up with how many have been killed by this experiment, okay? It is absolutely atrocious when we know that the ivermectin thing worked and it was promoted, it was considered safe and effective for many of these things, and then they suddenly say, oh, no, we've got dangerous things. We can't let this out. You know why? Because they could not bring out an experimental approach if there was something that might work instead. And they were just bent on the idea that they were going to bring out this new jab. It's not a vaccine. We can argue that. Let me just read the portions of the first one. It's the longest portion of the code. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. They should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. All of the understanding was completely, it was spun and woven in such a way that happened. Going back into it, there should be made known to him the nature, duration, and purpose of the experiment, the method and means by which it is to be conducted, all inconveniences and hazards reasonably to be expected. They knew what the side effects were, infertility, death, neuromuscular, cardiovascular. They knew these things. I'm going back in. The effects upon his health or person, which may possibly come from his participation in the experiment. Everybody was to be informed before they got the jab. I'm going back in. The duty and responsibility for ascertaining the quality of the consent rests upon each individual who initiates, directs, or engages in the experience. Friends, every single nurse or health practitioner that jabbed that in your shoulder had to have an understanding and assent to this. Going back in, it is a personal duty and responsibility which may not be delegated to another with impunity. So they're saying, oh, no, you can't say I let somebody else cover that. No, it's you. These ER doctors that were sitting there jabbing you, these nurse practitioners, these whoever they were, they had a personal responsibility in this. And I sound
because
like I'm
maybe
one of
the issue is following orders. You know, you can't just run around and say we're following orders. They know full well that this experimental stuff has side effects. And then they can say, well, no, hold on. The crisis, requires that we, set aside all that. No, it doesn't. Doctors were speaking out and literally got shut down by your government in bed with the mainstream press, mocking anybody who stood with ivermectin, literally to the point where, hey, doctors were afraid to prescribe it because they were afraid that they would lose their license and their whole careers would be destroyed. Their bread bowl would be smashed, so to speak, on this, or people would... even have worse, be prosecuted and things like this. These people went so far, and that's the criminal part of this thing. It's one thing to say, hey, we don't agree with this ivermectin idea. Okay, it's another thing, though, to start prosecuting and persecuting people for standing up, who now we have so much evidence, it's not even funny, turned out to be correct, Dr. Bradley.
Sam, 3 years ago, you and I had similar conversations to this, March of 2020, okay? We're just a couple of, I will not put you in the category of a bozo, but maybe I am, okay? Okay, I'm just a regular guy, and I can read, and I can think, and I can evaluate, and I try hard to do those kinds of things. And somehow, some way, 20 years ago, people like us were able to ascertain some of these issues that eluded these researchers, these scientists, these physicians, these eminent scholars, whatever you want to call them, and every single aspect of it is coming back with the full force and effect we discussed about 3 years ago. And nowadays, it's like, oh, well, I've heard people say, well, you know, you guys should have tried harder to convince us. Well, Bravo Sierra, you guys should have thought. You should have turned those gray matter on between your ears and thought about this instead of following orders. You know, Adolf Eichmann, he actually didn't kill anybody in World War II. He just set up the train schedule to take them into the concentration camps. He got hanged for that. And his excuse was, in his trial, I was just following orders. You got to be kidding, people.
And even right now, with the FOIA requests that have brought this information forth, they've got it all redacted. I mean, you've got enough of the facts to know the leading British physician and health council, their report was, hey, Lori's cover letter states, bird recommendations, ivermectin should be approved immediately. Okay. Even now, the details are redacted of who said what to whom and how it was really stopped and blocked. We know that it was, but we can't even get the details now because at government, they still have the ability to redact all this, doctor. Even with the information we have, we don't have the rest of the story yet.
Well, many years ago, not in this particular field of medication, I was involved in things that were classified, okay? U.S. government classified them. It was asinine. That's not a swear word, by the way. It was asinine, the things that were being classified. They have free rein to say, oh, no, we're going to classify this, we're going to classify that, whatever. And there was an attempt in this medical nonsense of the jab to make sure that it didn't get out for decades. We're talking decades and decades. They knew they had evidence, not just evidence, they had proof that it was harmful. And they wanted to keep it covered up until all of the guilty parties had gone away. And now that's dribbling it out a little bit at a time. And here's the deal. We need to have this brought to the unemotional court system. U.S. jurisprudence needs to be brought forward. The people at the highest levels, the Gorings and the Eichmanns and the, you know, all of these people, the doctors. I mean, the doctors at Auschwitz were charged, okay? Well, Mengele's actually slipped out through the net and lived until 1979. But the intent was to take these people and charge them, try them through due process. I'm not saying, well, you remember our old friend Joe Ferguson. He used to say, give them a quick trial and hang them. I mean, I'm not recommending that. I'm saying we have to go through a true trial process where it's exposed in court. And there has to be justice
brought
about this.
Joe's point's right. A quick trial and hang them, though. The point is you can't let it just be buried and manipulated juries and lied to and exculpatory evidence withheld and all this. Look, you got to have a true, transparent, quick trial. You can't play games here. And that was Joe's point. His point wasn't to jettison due process.
Oh, I know.
But your point's well taken, too, though, that, hey, we've got to do it right. But what we can't do is let it be subject to all the manipulations. Even Hitler escaped and didn't die like we're told. So the problem is accountability here and transparency, folks. That we don't have in America, and that we need to absolutely insist on. And if the American people don't insist on it, they're going to get what they deserve, doctor.
You know, it's interesting to me. We talk about due process. I'm willing to give them what they didn't give us. I mean, no due process occurred when they locked us down. They shut our businesses down. They made every effort to make everybody a lab rat for what they were doing. No due process. Nobody got an individual thing. No habeas corpus for being locked down. It was completely done without any of that. Now you say, was there any due process when people in Africa were captured and turned to slaves? No. Was there due process when the Japanese Americans were imprisoned in World War II? No. We're going to give them due process, but they need to see this will never happen again. We cannot allow this again.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly, we've only got him for 1 hour today. Friday, though, he'll be with us both hours. And man, have we got a whole lot of news the networks refuse to use for that. Thank you, Dr. Bradley. We'll talk soon.
Great to visit. Everybody take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to push for Nuremberg trials. Where's Kevin McCarthy? Where's all the folks that could do some good? Oh, they're going to look into it, aren't they? Uh-huh. They've had enough time to look into it, folks. It's time to start prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law. That's what we got to get done. For Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.